Good morning, Los Angeles, and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Warrior Show. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Clapper. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai, 31 years. Steve Paulette says technically we should call these studios the Cedars-Sinai Studios for the next 2 hours, because they are. I come to you today with a heavy heart. Kobe Bryant meant so much to all of us, and he really meant a lot to me. I met him at a fundraiser at Cedars many years ago. I met him and Shaq. And as you all know, you listen every Saturday, thanks to Dave Miller, the promo is from Kobe Bryant. Dr. Clapper, right? You hear him say that. But I can't. I mean, with a heavy heart all week, I did surgery yesterday. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about some food. I rediscovered a Mexican restaurant that just blew my mind. Best guacamole and salsa I've ever had. But I don't want to have a heavy heart today. I want to talk about the Mamba mentality, because it exists in all of our lives. And that's what I want to focus on today. So only on the Weekend Warrior Show will Dr. Clapper, me, somehow relate the Mamba mentality and what Kobe meant through surfing in Israel. Kobe Bryant was a force of nature. My dad used to always tell me, Robbie, they say a diamond is the strongest substance on the planet Earth. He says it's not. Do you know what cut through the mountains to create the Grand Canyon? You know what the strongest thing on this earth is? I said, what? It's got to be a diamond. Nope, it's not a diamond. It's water. Water is the most powerful force of nature. And if anything is Kobe Bryant's legacy, it's that be as powerful as you can be, whatever the talents you've been given. And he knew he was given a lot of talents, but he said he played like he was the 12th man on the bench. So at 7:15, calling in all the way from Israel, thanks to Jared Abrams, we've got two surfers in Israel on the Mediterranean Sea who started a company that actually uses water to cleanse your wetsuit. So the device is great, and we can talk about that. But what I want to talk about is the first thing I started to think about when my heart started to calm down was the Mamba mentality. And by the way, if you want to soothe yourself, and I know you guys are all huge Laker fans and Kobe Bryant fans, there's a book called The Mamba Mentality, written with Andrew Bernstein. And he's going to be calling in at 7:30 because we need to talk to Andrew Bernstein at this time. But I read that book again and again this week, because it calmed me down. And it's a book of pictures where Kobe said to Andrew Bernstein, I don't want you to show me a bunch of pictures of my career. That's not what I want to do in this book. I want to do it backwards, as only Kobe would want to do it. Kobe said to Andrew Bernstein, the lifelong Laker photographer, 30 years he's been taking pictures of the Lakers. Kobe said to Andrew Bernstein, I want to tell you the topic, and you go find the picture I'm talking about. For example, Dikembe Mutombo was known for blocking shots. But you know how he did it? With his right hand, he blocked the shot. But with his left hand, he'd grab your jersey and pull you down. You go find a picture of Dikembe Mutombo trying to guard me and find that picture where he's grabbing my jersey with his left hand as he's trying to block my shot with the right hand. So each chapter was, go find the picture to tell this story. Not, here's the picture, let me tell you what happened. He did it backwards. We got to talk to Andrew Bernstein, and we will at 7:30. But it's the force of nature. It's the Mamba mentality. And you know how much I love the world of art, the world of sports, and the world of surgery. I want to talk about a force of nature. And there's nothing more powerful than water. Kobe Bryant was a force of nature. And on some levels, in a biblical way, because he's dying at age 41. He's never going to grow old. We're not going to see him at a Hall of Fame speech. We're not going to see him like Julius Erving or Bill Russell with gray hair. He's forever going to be young in our eyes. Just to remind you how this all started, listen to Dr. Jerry Buss talking about, in his Hall of Fame speech, learning about Kobe Bryant for the first time from Jerry West.
Jerry West comes to me and says he has an eye on a 17-year-old phenomenon, Kobe Bryant. I said, great, in 3 or 4 years, it'll be good. He said, no, now. I said, what? Well, not only that, Jerry, he was telling me, also Shaq has said he wants to come to Los Angeles. This could be the greatest 1-2 punch in the history of basketball. Okay, I said, let's go for it.
Let's go for it. Another force in nature, Dr. Jerry Buss. So I want to connect the dots in my life. I want to see a force of nature. Men, women, who just don't see no as an answer. And my guests will be calling in at 7:15 to talk about their invention. But they'll be calling in from Israel. And for me, combining that world of surfing and Israel and a force of nature leads to one man. And his name is Dorian Paskowitz. I met him many times in Waikiki with my good friend Todd Kamenson. We're the only three Jews getting together with surfboards in Waikiki. Doc Paskowitz died at age 93. But only he, being the force of nature that he could be, decided that he was going to solve world peace himself with a surfboard by going to Israel and bringing surfboards to the Jews and surfboards to the Arabs. Hey, you got to hear this story. His name was Dorian Paskowitz. What a character he was. Listen to him being interviewed about where this all started.
And I fell in love with the water at 9 years of age. At 11, I fell in love with surfing. By the time I had become 13, surfing was my life. And from that point on, I would say that that has done more to color and fashion my existence on this planet than any other thing.
I'm just setting the background of who this man is. He ultimately goes to Stanford for medical school, but he doesn't ever really practice medicine. He just gives it all up, has 9 children, and decides to be a bohemian and surf until one day he realizes, you know, I am Jewish. Israel could use a surfboard. And he brings a surfboard to Israel. Ugh. And then he realizes he's in the middle of a war. He's a force of nature. He has the Mamba mentality.
I'm in Waikiki. I love to surf. I had brought a surfboard to Israel. Israel had developed from one surfboard 30,000 surfers and a $200 million a year business.
Okay, so he loves surfing. He wants to share it with whoever he can. He goes to Israel, brings a surfboard, and introduces it to the Israelis. I don't even know what year this is, but it's a while ago. Becomes a $200 million industry. Here's the rest of the story of a force of nature, of a Mamba mentality.
That was ongoing. And I, you know, having my affection for the Arab culture, I came over and with boards, surfboards, now not for the Jews, but for the Arabs in Jaffa. And I left them with them. That was a natural thing, that if I gave surfboards to my Jewish Israeli friends, why not give them to my Arab Israeli friends, which I did. In fact, today I gave 2 more.
We saw last night how much Kobe Bryant meant to so many of the current day basketball players. He was their Michael Jordan. He inspired so many. Dorian Paskowitz inspired so many in a faraway land because he brought surfboards. Kobe Bryant was fearless. Don't get in his way. Listen to Dorian Paskowitz. Literally, they're going to shoot him as he's trying to bring surfboards to the Gaza Strip.
When we try to get in today, they really gave us a zap. But in those days, I was invincible. When they said, no, no boards, no meeting with the guy, I just went ahead. I just shoot me. And the guy that was there, Ali, wonderful guy. He was a shomer, the security guard of settlements in Gaza. And he was the head of the Eris. And I'd grab him and kiss him and say, no. And finally, I overcame him. And he brought the Arabs in and we came in. Today, there was none of that.
Kobe Bryant inspires LeBron James, Damian Lillard, every basketball player. Dorian Paskowitz inspired with this toughness, with this Mamba mentality, every surfer that surfs, from Kelly Slater to Makua Rothman. Turns out, Kelly Slater has Syrian in his blood. He's an Arab heritage. Loves Dorian Paskowitz. Makua Rothman, Eddie Rothman's his dad. He's from Brooklyn. He's got Jewishness in his blood. Makua Rothman rode a wave, not with a jet ski, paddled into it, almost 100 feet high. So here you have the greatest surfer in the world who has Arab heritage. Makua Rothman, who's ridden the biggest wave in the world with Jewish heritage. Only Dorian Paskowitz, like Kobe Bryant, could say, hey, you're Arab, you're Jewish. Maybe we can actually get these guys to surf together and they'll put their guns down. Just a force of nature.
From that came my desire to create a rapport between those guys in Gaza that wanted to surf. And my slogan was, if the Arabs and the Jews can surf together, they can live together. And then I got the world's greatest surfer. And I said, Kelly, go with me over there, will you? And it turned out the world's greatest surfer was an Arab. The world's greatest surfer is part Syrian.
And he needs a Jewish surfer. And there aren't many of us.
And then I got the Jew who rode the biggest wave in the world.
Makua Rothman.
7 stories high, 70 feet. I got the two together, and I brought them over here, and that grew to that.
So listen to the Mamba mentality. You can do it as an electrician. You could do it as a plumber, Vincent Laporcio. You can do it as a surgeon, Dr. Clapper. You can do it in all of our lives. There's nothing impossible when you think like Kobe Bryant. This is Dorian Paskowitz saying, I can actually solve peace in the Middle East.
Now, what's going to happen from it? The Hamas, the Jews, the enemy of the Jews, the enemy of the Arabs. What will come of it? I don't know.
But he ain't going to stop from trying. Kobe taught us many things. Dorian Paskowitz taught us many things. But there's one thing that's common to a force of nature. And you know what it is? Passion. Listen to Kobe Bryant speaking in Italian. You don't even need to speak Italian. My other passion in life is sculpting in marble, pizza, everything Italian. You don't need to speak Italian to hear the word passione, which means passion. Passion for your family, passion for your work, passion for your life.
La passione. La passione per la vita, la passione per giocare a pallacanestro e fare la cosa che ami con tutto il cuore. Sempre la passione in Italia, la passione con la famiglia, sai, con i figli, con tutte le cose che che è importante per te, per avere nella tua vita, è rimasta sempre con me, sempre con l'Italia, era sempre un posto nel mio cuore.
Tremendous. There aren't enough words. I don't want to talk about the badness. I only want to celebrate his life. And his life was about being a force of nature. Yeah, Hawaii, it's easy to surf. You got big waves. Go try and surf in the Mediterranean Sea where you rely on the wind to kick up the waves. And maybe they'll do it for 10 minutes and then it goes away. But if you're doing something you love, those 10 minutes of waves in the Mediterranean are priceless. The passion exists. The force of nature. Dorian Paskowitz, who brought surfing to Israel. I just want to learn more about it. And coming up next, we're going to talk to two Israelis, surfers. They invented the coolest gadget to clean your wetsuit. And I want to talk about Kobe Bryant and surfing in Israel. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. I just love hearing his voice, and I'm going to love hearing it as long as I'm on the radio. Telling you all, the Weekend Warrior congregation, to listen to the show. Joining me now, all the way from Israel, Mayor Dayan and Shlomi Ovadia. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi, how are you?
Calling all the way from Israel. Tel Aviv, where are you calling from?
Yeah, from Tel Aviv.
Wow. Well, thanks to Jared Abrams, I don't know how he tracked you guys down. And I have a whole set of...
Thank you for inviting us to your show.
What's that?
Thank you for inviting us to your show.
Oh, it's our pleasure out here. And, you know, to some extent, you know, we arranged all this before the tragic death of Kobe Bryant. But it made me think about everything happens for a reason. So why am I talking to two Israeli inventors who surf, and Kobe Bryant? And then it occurs to me, how could you even surf in Israel? Who started all this? And then I realize, I go to Hawaii a lot. I surf, I have a surfboard in the rack at the police station in Waikiki. Why would God put us together that I should be talking to two Israelis about surfing? And then I realized, I knew very well Dorian Paskowitz, who was the man who brought to Tel Aviv, 1950, whatever the hell it was, he brings a surfboard and creates surfing in Israel and then brings Kelly Slater and Makua Rothman to try to get the Arabs and the Israelis to surf together better than all the politicians that can now bring people. And I realized this is something Kobe Bryant could totally relate to. So you know what? Here we are talking about surfing in Israel when we're trying to put our heads together about what Kobe Bryant means to all of us. What does Kobe Bryant mean to the two of you?
It means everything. It's a huge athlete, and it's such a great character, and it's a tragic loss.
Yeah, we used to wake up in 4 or 5 in the morning because of the difference of the hours and see the game. Man, it was amazing.
Yes. You watched him. He touched everybody. Now, first question I got to ask Mayor Dayan. Are you related to Moshe Dayan?
Nah. It's a different Dayan.
Oh, okay. Because he's my favorite Israeli of all time because of what he stood for. With that patch on his eye. Oh, my God. I just fell in love. I worked in 1979 on a kibbutz in Israel.
Really?
First, I worked at Misgavam, north of Metula, got shot at with Katusha rockets for 3 straight nights. And then I hitchhiked and wound up at Kibbutz Geva between Afula and Beit Shean, and I drove tractors in the almond orchards for 3 months. But that's the last time I was in Israel, is 1979, probably long before the two of you were born.
I think you should come and visit us. It's a bit different now.
That's what I hear. And it's different because of people like you two guys who now it can't get any harder than trying to surf in the Mediterranean Sea where all you got to hope for is the wind comes up a little bit. It's not like there are swells like in Hawaii coming across the Pacific Ocean. But the joy that you must get from every ride you get, it's like being a millionaire every time you're on that wave for even 5 minutes, right? Tell us what it's like to surf. What's the stoke like for you to surf in the Mediterranean?
Well, the Mediterranean is nice because the water is really hot. Mm-hmm. In summer, we're surfing in 30 degrees water. So it's just board shorts and the sun. Mm. And we even have some epic waves.
Really?
Winter time is a great time. It's not as a consistent like the ocean, but it still have a nice, decent swell and size to give everybody some pleasure and fun.
Wow. So you have people shaping boards. You're not getting them shipped to you from Hawaii. You have a whole industry of making surfboards in Israel.
Yeah, mate. We have around 1 million surfers in Israel.
Oh, my God. And it all started with Dorian Paskowitz bringing a Fakakta surfboard to you guys.
We just needed one board, and we did the rest.
Wow. Do you know, did you ever meet Dorian Paskowitz?
Nah, I wish.
Yeah. He was a character. I knew him very, very well. He was something else. And later in the show, his daughter's going to be calling in to talk about his incredible life and his fearlessness,
wow,
his Mamba
amazing
mentality. So tell us about your invention. Is this the first invention for you guys, or have you invented other cool gadgets for surfing?
We have other cool gadgets, but it's far from what we build now. We have built the first wetsuit washer that washes your wetsuit from inside and outside.
I want to ask you a question, Mayor or Shlomi. How did this idea come to you? You're sleeping, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you wake up and you go, oh my God, I got the greatest idea, and that's it? How did this happen?
No, we traveled the world for the last 13 years for chasing waves. We've been traveling so much, and we saw the thing that you need to wash your wetsuit every time after surf. I was a water photographer, Shlomi was a surf instructor, so it was making sense that we need something like that. We needed that product. We built it because we actually needed that.
Mm.
I used to wear wetsuits for 10 hours a day, and in the end of the day, I was so tired, so hungry. The last thing I wanted is to deal with my wetsuit. I thought, why there is no machine that's going to do it for me?
Mm.
Going to save water, going to make it with less trouble, really fast. I don't need to deal with that.
Did you ever surf in Ventura?
Yeah, we've been in Ventura, I think, 5 months ago.
Because after I am cold in my wetsuit and I'm hungry after surfing, there's nothing better that I want to eat than a beef taco from Corrales up in Ventura.
It's exactly like that.
So I want to ask exactly you a question. Like, when you're in Israel and you surf for 10 hours and you're soaking wet and now you come out and you're so hungry, is there nothing better than a falafel with tahina and all kinds of hot sauce on top of it after surfing?
You're dreaming about shawarma in the water.
That's fantastic.
That's the real deal.
Oh, my God. So talk to me about the device. What is it called, and where can people get this device?
So we call it Bully, the wetsuit washer, because we needed a rough hanger to hang the equipment without breaking, without making a distortion of the wetsuit.
Mm-hmm.
But there was always a problem. How are you going to hang your wetsuit? So we build like a human shoulder size, so there's not going to be no distortion for your wetsuit. So it's going to be finally a nice place to hang your wetsuit.
Mm.
And this device washes your wetsuit from inside and outside. You don't need to flip your wetsuit. You don't need to do nothing.
Wow.
Just hang it, plug it to the water, 20 seconds, and it's done.
That's
it's
fantastic.
Faster than washing it with a hose. It saves water, and we do everything from recycled plastic.
Wow. Did you guys spend any time in Hawaii?
Not yet.
You're in the surf business and you have never been to Hawaii to surf. Okay.
Yeah. We've been to Fiji, Australia, Sri Lanka, Portugal, Europe, but not yet Hawaii.
No, you need to go to where it all started. And trust me.
Yeah.
Jerry Lopez has been a guest on this show a couple of times. And
wow.
I said to him, everything in life comes in waves. To see light comes in light waves. To hear sound waves. If I put EKG leads on your chest, you see electrical waves in your own heart. But everything is invisible except for the surfer, who for a few seconds gets to see life as it is, where you see the waves go through the ocean. And Jerry Lopez says to me, and don't forget, Dr. Clapper, the water's actually not even moving. We ride the energy that's going through the water. The water's staying still. How do you like that?
Exactly, exactly. We know that. It's the only energy that you can feel it, see it, and go along with it.
Mm. Can you imagine the audacity for Dorian Paskowitz to bring Kelly Slater and Makua Rothman to Israel, sneaking surfboards over the security guards in the Gaza Strip to give them to the Arabs and Hamas, and then to have Israelis and Arabs in the water together surfing? Do you guys surf with Arabs? Do you surf only with Israelis? What happens in Israel?
Of course. In the moment that you're in the water, it's like a neutral place. You know, everybody comes to experience this energy, to be a part of this amazing culture of surfing. Mm-hmm. So there's no difference. It doesn't matter where you're from or what you do. In the moment that you are in the water, you're a surfer. And you can feel it in here. We have great atmosphere in the water, great vibes. You should come. You should come visit us.
I will come visit you guys and actually go surfing with you in the Mediterranean. I will look forward to it. All right, I will do my best here in Los Angeles, gentlemen, to talk about Bully, your company, and how to clean a wetsuit. And I really appreciate you getting up. God knows what time it is in Israel right now to be on the show with us. It's a true pleasure, and thanks for joining us.
It's our pleasure. Thank you very much for hosting us.
Toda rabah.
Toda rabah. Thank you very much.
All right, young man. That's Bully Equipment. That's the name of the company to wash your wetsuit inside and out at the same time. Amazing. But to be able to persevere in conditions that are not ideal, but when, as Kobe says, passione, if it's inside you, don't let anybody get in your way. Coming up next, we're going to talk to someone who knows Kobe better than anybody else I know, Andrew Bernstein. The two of them, Kobe and Andrew Bernstein, wrote a book. And I'm telling you, Weekend Warriors, you want to soothe the pain, the loss that's inside us? Read the book Kobe wrote with Andrew Bernstein called Mamba Mentality. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Andrew Bernstein about the book. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. The number is 877-710-ESPN. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Thanks for Steve Paulette creating a Facebook page. Don't forget to visit our Facebook page. Just type Weekend Warrior in the search, and you'll see my picture in the listings. It's fantastic. I know Gornisht from Facebook, but Steve Paulette knows a lot about it, and he posts all the guests and really cool things about the show, so don't miss it. I listened to George Michael yesterday in surgery. In baseball, when you hit a single, a double, a triple, and a home run, they call it hitting for the cycle. In orthopedic surgery, I did a rotator cuff, a shoulder, two hip replacements, and four knee replacements yesterday. I hit for the cycle. In every case, I got music. Music that I love to listen to. George Michael is one of those iconic singers. And I love this song. It's called Amazing. And that's what Kobe was. Amazing. Kobe Bryant and Andrew Bernstein, the legendary photographer, wrote a book called The Mamba Mentality. Before I bring Andrew on, I just want to read from page 130 of this amazing book they wrote. This one is a picture of Kobe and Reuben Patterson. Remember him? He used to portray himself as the Kobe stopper. Here's the problem. He never asked Kobe for permission to be called that. So this is what it says. This is Kobe's words. You can feel his words in these sentences. His voice. Kobe stopper? Reuben Patterson and I played together for a bit, so I got to know what he could and couldn't do. And he could play defense, but I have to laugh at the whole Kobe stopper thing he started. I actually think he tried using it as a ploy to get a bigger contract in free agency. The idea was solid. The execution was flawed, though. Not too long ago, I told him, you should have called me before you went ahead and said it. You should have said, Kobe, I need a favor. I need you to say I'm the best defender you ever faced. I need you to help me get this money. I would have done that for Ruben. I would have been happy to help him. After he went ahead and did it on his own, though, I had no choice but to light him up every time I saw him. No choice. I prided myself on playing any so-called Kobe stopper, any specialist brought in by a team to try to slow me down. When we were a championship-caliber team, other GMs were constructing their rosters to dethrone us. One of the methods they attempted was employing a Kobe stopper, someone paid strictly to stop me. When teams did that, it was my job to make them question their ability to spot talent in the first place. The greatest soccer player of all time was Pelé. In the 60s, there was no yellow card or red card. Teams used to literally go out on the pitch and try to break his leg. They just attacked him. They didn't care about him having the ball, nothing. No yellow. They invented the yellow and the red card because of Pelé. Kobe, like Pelé, they just went after him, and he proved each and every one of them wrong. Joining me now is someone who knows the Mamba mentality better than anybody else, the great Andrew Bernstein. Andy, thanks so much for getting up early to be with us.
Just a pleasure, Doc. Thank you for having me.
I don't need to ask you any questions. You should just talk. Tell us about writing a book, Ass Backwards, where he's telling you, I don't care about the pictures you took. This is the story I want to tell in this chapter. Go find the picture where you got with Dikembe Mutombo, right? Isn't that what he did?
That's pretty much what he did. That was the challenge. That like everything else in work and life, Kobe knew exactly what he wanted. And he wanted this book to be able to tell his fans and the rest of the world, maybe people who didn't even know him, what made him tick, you know, why he was the Black Mamba. What did that really mean? What was the mentality behind that? And that was divided into process and craft, you know, how he took care of his body, recovered from injury, prepared for games mentally, everything having to do with the process to get on the court, which became the craft of basketball. And you just broke it down. That Ruben Patterson story is one of many stories that separated Kobe from so many others.
Take us through, Andy Bernstein, the behind the curtain. You're in an office, you're at the house, you're at his house, and on the coffee table are 20 pictures of Mutombo, 20 pictures of Ruben Patterson, and he's trying to tell the story with a single photograph. How does he eliminate the 19 pictures and pick the one? Take us through what it was like to write this book with Kobe.
Well, he wanted to talk about specific aspects of his game. So if we're talking about the process, his mental preparation, physical preparation, there were specific photos that showed that, that showed him doing his private workouts, which I was the only one to ever document. Even his Laker teammates, coaches, trainers didn't see what he did privately to keep his body as great as it was and to recover from, you know, some pretty bad injuries.
Oh, yeah.
We remember how he injured his ankle in the 2000 finals. No player on earth could have come back from that, and yet he played in that next game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had bad knees. He had busted finger in that 2009-10 season that the great Gary Vitti had to invent an apparatus so that he could actually, you know, hold a basketball, much less shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the Achilles. You know, Doc, I don't know how many athletes of any stature at that point in their career could have come back from that at the level that he did. So if we're talking about that, there were specific photos, and those were kind of the easy ones. The hard ones when we got into the craft section, where he talked about the Ruben Pattersons and playing against his idol Michael Jordan. And the very first picture in that section is a shot of a young Kobe D-ing up his idol, Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. and the caption that Kobe wrote was, "Everything I'm doing in this is wrong." mm. Now, how many guys in their own book are going to put, you know, something that they're doing wrong in there? But he did it as a teaching tool, mm. and he broke down that photo. So nobody can appreciate this more than you, a doctor, a scientist, but he literally dissected my photos. You know, wow. he could see in my photos what I couldn't see. I saw a nice picture of a young Kobe against Michael Jordan. You know, to me, that's a game winner right there. But he saw a lot more. He went deep into that photo to see how he was positioned against Michael, how Michael maneuvered his body, how the muscles were going one way where they should have gone the other way, how his arm was not in the right place. There was a whole litany of things, and that became the challenge for me and my friends back at NBA Photos in New Jersey, who had to really help find these photos deep, deep, deep in the archives.
I'm a sculptor. I'm a surgeon. I've patents. I'm on the radio. I'm a surfer. I'm an author. I write books with Linda Huey. I consider myself a Renaissance man. I really love marrying the world of art, sports, and surgery in everything that I do. You, Andrew Bernstein, the reason we love you so much is that you are a Renaissance man. You bring a creative art world to our world of sports. And nobody saw themselves more as a painter with an empty canvas than Kobe Bryant. You got to teach us now. Why? I mean, I got here at the crack of dawn this morning, and the plaza is still filled with people. Was it, in your opinion, that made Kobe Bryant so pervasive? You have people that are Laker fans, and then you have people who could give a rip about the Lakers. They're just Kobe fans. Tell us about your impression as a Renaissance man of who Kobe Bryant was and why we all feel so connected to him.
Wow, that's a pretty loaded question, Doc. And I think there's a lot of layers to that. You know, first and foremost, we as a city saw this guy grow up in front of us. I mean, he was like a child of ours. You know, he came in as a teenager, this bundle of energy and talent, and honed that into, you know, a champion and a veteran and a leader. So I think we're invested in that as we would be in any family member that we would see. And of course, if you're a Laker fan, you feel some attachment to him as being your guy. We also saw that he was human and he had flaws and he took steps back, but he did what he had to do to keep moving forward and make amends and make himself better. And that's an incredible life lesson to all of us. Also, his relentlessness was contagious, and I think people really relate to other people who just work their ass off. Mm-hmm. Pardon my French, but you know, he just never stopped, and he, you know, we see that very rarely in life, and especially, you know, I have kids that are in their 20s. God bless them. I love them to death. But that generation, you know, they're not used to really hard work from, like, you know.
They're used to load management, right?
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant was the old Lakers. You couldn't keep him from going to play. Load management. Can you imagine saying that to Kobe Bryant? He would take your head off.
No, Kobe would say, "Load management, keep loading on." I don't know what the word is, but keep pulling, just put more on me. Look what he did in the 2009 season, where, you know, Shaq had left. It was all that talk and whatever, which was all just nonsense. But everything was on Kobe's back to bring that team to the promised land, and he felt it. He knew it. Physically, he wasn't in the greatest of shape that whole season, but look what he did to carry that team to the finals and win that finals in 2009 in Orlando, and then of course again in 2010. You know, he said, and everyone knows this, that losing to the Celtics in 2008 was the worst time, worst thing that ever happened to him in his career, mm-hmm. and that he would play until he beat them. and I believe it. I believe it. Wow. When they won in 2010, it was complete vindication for him. And I think that was his sweetest championship.
Is there something, before I let you go, we have like a minute left, is there something mm-hmm. that you want to tell us about him that maybe you got to see that other people didn't see that made him so special to you?
Well, there's so many things, Doc, but mostly his obsession and his curiosity, mm-hmm. Absolute relentlessness to be as great as he could possibly be, and even better than he could ever imagine being. Mm-hmm. And I added a fourth pillar to the Mamba mentality. You know, those three are spoken about very eloquently by him in the book, but the fourth pillar is strength, mm-hmm. the strength to overcome. And he's speaking to us all now to overcome, to help us get through this unbelievably shocking, tragic death of him and his daughter and the seven other people. The strength that I'm seeing in that plaza, that I saw in Staples Center last night, that I saw in everyone in the Laker organization, everyone inside Staples Center, broadcasters, everybody, he wants us to grieve, of course, but we need to rise above. And I was so encouraged by Vanessa's post the other day where mm-hmm. she really laid it out and understands that everyone's grieving, but yeah. she's going to help us through it, and her girls. And, you know, it's a horrible, terrible time, Doc. There's no two ways about it. We can't put words to it. But no. if something's going to come out of this, it's going to be the strength that we all have collectively.
Well, I got to thank you. That just going through the book that you wrote with Kobe, The Mamba Mentality, it certainly helped me this week, and I think it'll help a lot of the Weekend Warriors as well. And thanks so much for being with us, Andrew Bernstein. We really love you being a regular on the show.
Thanks, Doc. Always my pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you.
The great Andrew Bernstein. All right, Warriors, the number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show here on 710-ESPN. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors, to the Cedars-Sinai studios here at ESPN. Each and every Saturday morning. Thanks for telling your friends. We got callers from other states right now. I only have a minute left, so hang on the line and we'll do you guys at the start of the next hour. I got to talk about food. This week I returned to my favorite countertop to eat Mexican food. They're so busy there, you're never going to get a stomach ache. You're never going to, the food is constantly moving. You sit at the counter, and I asked for extra enchilada sauce. It was like soup. It was like a bowl of soup with an enchilada in the middle. My mouth is watering already. It's unbelievable. Because I don't know what they put in this enchilada sauce. And then they put cheese on top and melted in the salamander, whatever it's called, the broiler. You can't even touch the plate because it'll burn your finger. And I used the chips and the salsa, and I pour it into the soup of the enchilada sauce as I eat the enchilada. In addition, I got a shredded beef taco. They usually give me the taco, and it's ground beef. But I figured, all right, it's probably healthy to have shredded beef. Now, I have to go back. When you have the ground beef taco and the ground beef enchilada in this swimming pool of enchilada sauce with cheese melted on top, and the salsa, and they give you this huge bowl of freshly made chips. Oh, it's just, I just want to put my wetsuit on and jump into the plate. Where am I talking about? Manhattan Beach, El Tarasco. It's the first place I ever had an enchilada in my life, way back in 1983, and it's still there. I still sit in the same chair that's there from 1983. And nothing has changed. Treat yourself. They're not paying me to say this. I'm just giving you a Dr. Clapper secret spot. El Tarasco, Rosecrans, Highland, Manhattan Beach. Enjoy yourself. Coming up next, I'll take your calls. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show here on 710-ESPN.